This is part two of the mezuzah shiurim. So last week we said that basically we have to understand the pshat of the pasuk "Uksaftem al mezuzos b'sachol v'sharecha," what that means. So we talked about what bias is. We'll talk a little bit more today. So we mentioned v'sharecha, that the Rambam Shita is that a room without a door is not chayiv with mezuzah. And they asked the Rambam where he got it from, and he said that he got it from the pasuk, besides the pasuk b'sharecha, because a shar is a gate, and a door is like a gate of the doorway. So therefore, if you don't have a door, then there's no chayiv. And we mentioned that even though we don't paskin like the Rambam, we put up mezuzahs even if there's no door. But yet, in deference to the Rambam, we won't make a bracha on such a area. We'll just put it up b'li bracha. But most Rishonim don't subscribe to the Rambam Shita and hold that you do have a chiyuv. That's why we follow those shitas. It's just we don't make the bracha because chayshish for the Rambam Shita. So how are they going to explain the Chiyuv of Bisharecha? So the Gemara on page 22 in the packet, in the Gemara Yuma Yud Aleph Amar Aleph, says, Tanu Rabbanan Bisharecha Echad Shari Batim Echad Shari Chatzeros Echad Shari Medinos Echad Shari Ayaros. But in other words, if you have a shar ha'ir, so it means you have a city that's surrounded with a wall around the city, and it has doorways in this wall. So the shar ha'ir requires a mezuzah, even though you're not living in the streets, but that's going to lead up, as some explain, chef does, to the streets, which will ultimately lead up to the homes. So the shahr of the city, shahr ha'ir, requires a mezuzah as well. So the question is, where do we have this such a situation? So one possibility would be what? The old city of Yerushalayim would be one possibility. Seagate in Brooklyn would be another possibility. Now, the only thing is, Rashi in Yuma, on Afyur Aleph Amar Aleph, from page 22, says that it has to be Rov Yisrael. Because it can't be a Goyish city. It has to be Rov Yisrael. So if it's not Rov Yisrael, so then it's not going to be chayef. So that makes things very difficult. So that's, we generally assume the Yerushalayim old city is not Rov Yisrael. So if that be the case, then it wouldn't need a mezuzah. It's not Rov Yisrael. I think the Meister, they do have mezuzahs there. Right, but okay, but maybe that's a hopeful thing for the future, that it'll be one day Rov Yisrael, but the mice it wouldn't have a real chiv. In Seagate, when they tried it, they Rabbi Harfus wrote a piece about this. They were afraid that it was going to get ruined. And then another p'tur in Hilchas Mezuzah is that even though a certain place might be chayiv in mezuzah, but if there's a chance that the goyim are going to steal it and take it and mutilate it, etc., then you wouldn't be chayiv. So what they did in Seagate was, the way it was suggested, I think Rabbi Harfinis writes a piece, is they would first put up the mezuzah with the case alone and see if that stays. And then if that stays, then they can go up to the next step and actually put the parchment in the case as well. I don't know. I don't go to Seagate every day, but the last time I was there, I didn't notice a mezuzah there. So the irony is that the old city of Yerushalayim, which probably doesn't have a chiyuv because it's not Rav Yisrael, does not have, that has the mezuzah, and the and Seagate, which is might be Rav Yisrael, which might be a real chiyuv, does not have the mezuzah. Okay, these are the ironies of life. One sukkah, when I was in the sukkah in the Lower East Side, they have communal sukkahs in the Lower East Side. So many years we were in the Lower East Side together with the same sukkah with Rav David Feinstein, Shlita. So I was discussing with him the idea of putting mezuzahs by elevators and things like that in like an apartment building or things like that. You know, because usually that's where the elevators are. So he made a comment about apartment buildings that, like, say, for example, I live in an apartment building here in the Heights, 475 West 186th Street, where Rabbi Orlean used to live as well. So there's no mezuzah. We do not have a mezuzah on our building. We do not have a mezuzah on our building. And it's, so why not? Why don't we have a mezuzah on our building? And I remember I first decided to look into this when we first moved in. It was not owned by a Jew, the apartment building. There was even, I believe, a tree there in a certain time of year in the apartment building. A long time ago. And then YU had this thing that we're buying up the buildings of the neighborhood. So at that point, see, when Kolzman was owned by a guy, there was nothing to talk about. But once they had that, that was purchased by YU, so then I thought this could be the time to finally put up a mezuzah on our front door. I mean, people obviously have mezuzahs on their private apartments and inside the apartments, but they don't have mezuzah on the front door. So this would be finally the opportunity to put up the mezuzah. So I was in the sukkah with Rav David Feinstein. We were discussing. So he told me that he's of the opinion that Shara Ir, to require a mezuzah, you need Kol Yisrael, not just Rov Yisrael, Kol Yisrael. And then I said to him, what about the Rashi in Yuma? So he said he thinks we don't pass him like that Rashi. Now, what was his basis? So his basis is that the din in Shulchan Aruch, if you have a shutuf with a Jew and a goy, so then say a person owns an apartment, has a roommate that's a Gentile, and so the shutuf, a Jew and a goy, different opinions, but we paskin, there's no chiyuv to have a mezuzah. There has to be, in other words, if the Jew has his own room in the apartment, and the goy has his own room, so then they won't. Then the Jew will put a mezuzah on his private bedroom, and the goy obviously won't. And in terms of the apartment itself, which is used by both of them, the door that leads into the apartment, could be a din of shutuf with the goy. So then shutuf with the goy wouldn't be chayev in mezuzah. So that's what Rav David Feinstein was of the opinion, that since we paskin that shutuf al-akam passes for mezuzah, that would indicate that this Rashi is shaloka halacha, the way we paskin. And Rashi would hold that shutuf akum is chayev, so therefore he would say Rav Yisrael. That's how he said. However, not everyone agrees with his approach. There is an Or Sameach. Then the Or Sameach And I think Rav Shechter quotes this Or Sameach sometimes. The Or Sameach in his Sefer on the Rambam says a different approach. He says, no, the din of shutuf with a guy means that if you own an apartment or a room with a guy, so then there's no chiyuv mezuzah because you're part owner and he's part owner, or part renter and he's part renter. So it won't be good. But if the chiyuv mezuzah doesn't stem from the fact that you're living in these quarters, it stems from a more global thing. In other words, there's an entranceway that's leading up to different different apartments, different places of living. So then, that din of shutus doesn't apply, because it's not, the chiyuv is not betoras the mokum atzmo. The chiyuv is betoras that it's leading up to a mokum dira. So therefore, how do we decide whether this city is a city of Jews or a city of goyim? So Rashi says, based on rov. So then, if it's rov, then you say that this shara ir relates to Jews more than goyim, and we label it as a shar ha'ir of Yisrael, and therefore, because in other words, the only time you say that one goy will passel is if the goy is in this apartment itself that we're being medaber. But if we're talking about a chiv of mezuzah, not on the apartment itself, but on the lead up, so then Or Sameach says then that the din of shutuf akum would not apply. Then you just need to be able to be koveya that this is a shar leading to Diras Yisrael. So then if it has rov, it would be enough. And even Rashi could hold that Shutav Akum is also Pater. But this the Shutav Akum doesn't apply. And therefore, that's Shitas Rashi, as the Or Sameach explains. And therefore, it wouldn't be requirement to have, because then it would be come out that the only time you could have a mezuzah on the doorway, according to Rav David Feinstein, is if every single inhabitant in the apartment is Jewish, which you probably can get that in apartments in Yerushalayim or Bnei Brak or something like that, not necessarily in Washington Heights, even though the apartment that I live in is predominantly Ruba de Ruba Akum, Israel rather, Israel. But there are a few non-Israelim there, you know, very fine people, but nonetheless, so according to Rav David Feinstein, they wouldn't be a chiv in our, because we don't get the 100% mark. So that was, and Rav Abadi told me he thought, although I guess his vision of Washington Heights is a place where, you know, people will take the mezuzah, and I don't know if I have that same view, but maybe a difference between living there and not living there. But I think, you know, things are very nice here, Baruch Hashem, and I don't think you know. But he thought, oh, for sure they're going to take it from Kulei, so he thought not. So in the meantime, there was no mezuzah put up on the doorway of our building until one year on Purim. On Purim, so what happens on Purim? So Rav Goldwicht has a lot of things going on in the apartment there, and then he has this thing where he goes with whoever's in his apartment, and they have an entourage, and they come to the Chagiga together. So on the way, one year on Purim, Rav Goldwicht decided we're going to be Koveya Mezuzah on the front door of the doorway on Purim, and that's what he did. And then a day or two later, the mezuzah was not there. And then I saw it by the mailbox inside, something like that. So it didn't have a long lasted, loving, you know, existence on the. And then after that, we didn't try again. Now it's owned by another YU, has since sold it, the building, to Mr. Ruby Schroen, but there has not been any change in the mezuzah status of our building. So you still have these other coolers, even though is what to say, that we have Rov Yisrael, so if you hold like the Or Sameach's approach, then there should be, and if you hold like Rav David Feinstein, Rav Amadi, those other approaches, not, but I think that definitely is what to say for, having a mezuzah here, but Lamaisa, as it is currently, the mezuzah that Rav Golva put up probably 5, 6, 7 years ago on our front door never resurfaced to be put there. So we're relying on other shittas that don't require it. Right? Well, you can argue back and forth whether that's right or not, but that's the mitzvah. Yeah.
You can find a way to embed the door code.
It depends how much the person really wants to get your mezuzah. In other words, what you're saying is there is a din. We'll talk about this later. That in America, you put the mezuzah on the doorpost, and then you have a case usually. In Eretz Yisrael, I'm sure you've seen in the Jerusalem stone, they'll put the mezuzah in the stone. Right? You've seen that. I haven't seen that in America. I've only seen that in Eretz Yisrael. So, but you put it in the stone. But if somebody wants to cause problems, they could easily take tweezers and yank it out. And if there's a real hashash that they want to do that. Yes.
In the case of Eretz Yisrael, given Mishalas Yisrael, all the land is ours, if not individually, it's ours globally. So we should have an extra chiyuv to do over there, regardless of the inhabitants of the land.
So what are you saying?
Put up the mezuzah and then right, you're showing.
Even if it's Rav Acham.
It's not Rav Acham. It doesn't matter who's inhabiting. The Mishalas is Rav Yisrael. It's Rav Yisrael, but they attach themselves to Rav Yisrael.
Okay, that's an interesting comment you're making. The question is that the halacha? It's a nice idea, that it's since 1948, maybe that 48 we didn't have Yerushalayim. Okay, something to think about. So the mice, they have them up. The mice, they do have mezuzahs on the gates. Right? Yeah, we do have mezuzahs on the gates of Yerushalayim. Okay. Halavai should continue in the right direction. Okay. Now, the Gemara also tells us that there are other places that... Now, the Gemara says in Pesachim, famous line on Daf Dalet, mezuzah chovas hadar. That the mezuzah is a obligation for the inhabitor. So, what does that imply? That implies that you need a dira. You need to be living in the... Right, it has to be some function of dira, of living. If there's no one living there, it's not a chovas hadar. Then that's why the Gemara uses that expression to explain that a socher, who, if I rent an apartment, so who's the chiyuv mezuzah? Is the chiyuv mezuzah on myself, or is the chiyuv mezuzah on the owner of the building? Who, as I say, I own a building. Do I have to make sure that there are? If I own a building here, I own a building in the city. So do I have to make sure that? And I rent it out to different people. So do I have to put? So who's the chovah mezuzah on? So the Gemara says the chovah mezuzah is on the socher. The person who is renting the house, the apartment, he has the chiyuv mezuzah. Even though I own the building, but I don't live there. I rent it out to different people. So So then the chova is on me. There's discussion, what about a hotel? Say, I own a hotel. What's the story if you own a hotel? So I don't live in the hotel, but I own the hotel. So who stays in the hotel? Different people, like a hotel, they come and go. So the question is there a chova of mezuzah here? Because on one hand, you could say that I don't live there, so it's not a dira for me. The people who do live there are renting it. So in Kutzlar, you have 30 days where you're renting. And the people in the hotel are not even renting. That's the thing. They're paying, they have a right to get a room in the hotel. But that doesn't mean that they're not renting. So basically they're not renting and I'm not living there. So that's the question. I saw the quote from Rav Yashiv that maybe the owner of the hotel, it's his bias and he's using it by people living there. That's his use of the hotel, is people living there. So therefore that's his use. The people living, in other words, if they would be renting, so that's their thing. They're renting. It's theirs. And in Chutz La'aretz they have 30-day respite. That's Israel, you don't have the 30-day respite. So say I own a hotel in Yerushalayim. Pretty good thing. So then the people who are coming there are not I'm not chayim, because the question is they're not even renting. So are they chayim? That's a question, because what would be in such a situation? So I think in that sefer, the sefer Shvus Yitzchak, it's a sefer by Rav Darzi, and he quotes from Rav Yashiv that a hotel, maybe the owner has the chiyuv of, because if you look on page 20, Reish Pei Vav Chav Beis, it says Asocher Bayis B'Chutz La'aretz V'Hadar B'Pundok Be'Eretz Yisrael Potter Mi Mezuzah. So he says, "Hasocher bais bechutz laaretz, hadar bepundak beretz Yisrael, is potter mi mezuzah shloshim yom." So it sounds like he's potter, because he's, in other words, socher is. He rents that particular place. Punduk is just an inn, so he's not necessarily renting a particular house. So Darba Punduk Beretz Yisrael is Potter Mi Mezuzah Shloshim Yom. So he's also Potter. He does not chayv right away. It's only a socher. So then there could be what to say that neither of them are chayiv, but I think the post can assume that the what it says in that sefer Shmos Yitzchak, that the owner of the, and that's a big question also in the dormitory in the yeshiva, who's chayiv in the mezuzah? Are the students chayiv, the talmidim chayiv, or is it the yeshiva that's chayiv? So I think he quotes in that sefer Shmos Yitzchak from Rav Chaim Kanievsky, thought that the yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva is chayiv in the mezuzah. Even though Shvus Yitzchak on mezuzah, yeah, Chelek I think Tazayin, going strong. Right, like he has on Bishul and those, you know, he has the earliest. But it's a fascinating, sefer. This Talmud of Rav Yashiv wrote a good sukkim. You know, it's Rav Yashiv's perspective on things. Not everyone necessarily agrees to everything. Well, no, that's like anybody, not everyone can agree, but if you want to hear Rabbi Yashir's perspective on halacha, you read these forum, Shvus Yitzchak, and you have like 16 volumes of, and I guess I'm going to read. It's a fun reading, safer. It's a very, very good, nice, safer. So he quotes this idea of Rabbi Willard likes to quote, you know, the discussion in the postgame when you, if you go to a hotel for Shabbos, whether you have to make an Erev Chatzeres in the hotel or not. There's a whole discussion. So there's some shitas that hold based on Tosas. The Shabur discusses this, that you're not, it's not your dira even, so you shouldn't be chayv. So you're not, in other words, they can tell you to leave your room. They just have to give you another room. It's not a socher. I rent something, so they can't tell me to leave the place I'm renting. I'm renting this particular thing. In a hotel, I just pay money to get a room. I'm not paying for room 108 or room 109. I'm paying for a room. They give me a room. If they tell me for some reason I have to vacate that room, then they give me a different room. But it's not, nothing is specific about this room. But if you rent a dira in Eretz Yisrael, you're renting that particular dira. So some hold, like Rabbi Will pointed out, that would pater from Erev Chatzeres, and because you're not even a socher, and some held not that way, Chazanish held not that way. It's all based on Rabbi Will pointed out how you understand the certain toasts in Erevin about that. Right, but if I pay, but then there usually is more than one of that type. I mean, sometimes they could have one special suite, you know. And I'm not even sure if they are. You pay for that one special suite. And they decide that you have to leave, so they'll put you someplace else and they'll refund you the money. But it's not a serious type of relationship in the hotel. You do have these hotels in maybe Yerushalayim or something like that you have, you get that room for exactly how these things work, but that type of thing. Okay, so that's that's the discussion. But generally, the halacha is when you're renting, a real renter, then you're chayav in mezuzah, the socher. And Rashi and Abdallah and Psachim explains that mezuzah is protection. Mezuzah is protection. It's not just another mitzvah. Every mitzvah is a protection in a certain way, but mezuzah is like, that's like on the books, that it's a protection type thing. So therefore, who has to be protected? The person who's living there. He has to be protected. not the person who owns the thing, the person who's living there. So he need. So it's his chiyuv to put up the mezuzah. And that's why the halacha is that when you leave, you have to leave the mezuzah there. You have to leave because you're taking away the protection of the new person. So this comes up all the time. People always in the heights, they're always leaving, coming, going, So this halacha comes up a lot. You leave the mezuzah. Now, Rabbani points out, based on the Ramah, that you have a right to get compensated for it. In other words, you have to offer it to sell it to him. He doesn't want to buy it, so you don't have to. As Rabbi pointed out, just like you have to, he has to be protected, you also have to be protected. And if you, and therefore you're not mechuyev to just give him a free matana. But if he's willing to pay for it, then you have to, as Rabbi pointed out, based on the Ramah, then you have to leave it to him. A lot of times you don't know who's the next one, who the next person is, or it might be a goy. So in those cases, post give a maker that you could take the mezuzah with you. But or if you have a mezuzah has a special sentimental value to you, so you could change it with another mezuzah. Just leave him protected for the mezuzah. So that's the story.
Right, do we have to leave all the mezuzahs in the entire house, or specifically the one that's in the front?
Every single mezuzah. Except that maybe if they put up a mezuzah that was in a place that didn't have technically have a chiv mezuzah according to any opinion, then that's a different story. Yeah.
Maybe you mentioned before that as someone who's staying in a hotel is not even, you may not even be considered to be a renter. Is that because of the fact that the owner whether you have to move the people can move the people staying in the hotel from one room to another, or is that because of the 30 days?
No, even without the 30 days, it's that he can move from one room to the other. So he's not even a, I mean, this halacha about, so, but after 30 days, then there's a Marasayan halacha.
Even if the hotel owner has the right to move you,
it could still be a Marasayan issue. Right. But, say, in Eretz Yisrael, where the Chiyuv of Mezuzah, even a Socher, is right away, so he says, but Hadar Pundok to Eretz Yisrael is still Potter Mi Mezuzah Shloshim Yom, because that's not even a Socher, that's a Pundok. An inn. He's staying at the inn. Yeah. So you're in a punduk in Eretz Israel, so you're there for 20 days. So even though if you rent in Eretz Israel, you chayv right away. But if you in America. Yeah, I don't think there used to be a hotel by the Bedford Hotel, and was owned by Mr. Arbisfeld. I used to go into it, my wife and I and the family. We used to go to the Yachad Shabbaton in Stern. It used to be twice a year, Yachad Shabbaton in Stern. Then it went from twice to once a year, then from once to none a year. I think that's what had to do with when they didn't no longer had the Bedford Hotel anymore. That was the key, the clincher, the Bedford Hotel. And then the other hotel that I think he owns is more Spitz Hotel. So then it wasn't as accessible to put everyone up. But if I remember correctly, I don't think there was... right, in Chutzlar, it's right. Jewish people own hotels, I don't think have mezuzahs on in mid-Manhattan. Right. So you could say that the word is that Umaisa, the people who are there, are not renting. Even if they are renting, it's renting Kutzel Arts, and the people who own it, then don't live there. So you could hear the Svara. Where in Eretz Israel, I mean, it also has to do with the fact that, in America, things are different than having a hotel in Israel.
I know this is less of a long question or you're not concerned, but we already mentioned the poskim are deciding whether we should put a mezuzah up. Maybe we'll be taken down, or we say the mezuzah is a shmir. So, what have been having to send a shmir up?
You're saying, right, I guess our shmira, but also the shmira of the Kisvei HaKodesh. So the shmira for us. So the question is, you're saying, in other words, how can we forfeit our shmira?
Yeah.
Because if I can, we probably need more shmira in the place. Yeah. But I guess the preservation of the Kisvei HaKodesh take precedence. And I guess the Bishchus that, kind of Baruch Hu Shomer us as well. It's like they say that by the Svarim say that we don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos. So how are we going to get the shmira that we need for shofar? I mean, the shofar is, the verse says, Kol shonash ain toki mato berosha marina basofa, that it's a bad sin not to hear shofar. But, so the Svar right that as Lebaisa what? Lebaisa our Shmir Shabbos, which we were not blowing shofar, that's going to be in lieu of that. It's interesting, there's the Orach Laner, right? There's a famous Orach Laner that he goes through all the tragedies in history, like, you know, big tragedies in history, and he says all those years for Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. You know, because the mashal is like, okay, you're honest, you know, you can't take your medicine, but then you still didn't get your refuah. I don't know. That's an interesting mahalach to point that out. I don't know. Because for Maisa, that's what we're supposed to do. So it doesn't make sense that we should be punished, you know, to show that the years that korbanos happened were the years that, I don't know, one has to miyashir das on that concept. So this reminded me of what you just brought up.
Rebbe has suggested that if somebody was in a hotel room for more than 30 days, technically, there would be because of people thinking that whatever, they write the chiyuv to have mezuzah, would that mean that if the hotel wouldn't allow the person to put up a mezuzah after 30 days, the guy after 29 days should ask the hotel to move him to a different room if he has to stay for longer than that period of time?
I don't know what to tell you. I think it's the lesson of Shulchan Aruch is a socher bais b'chutz la'aretz v'adar b'pundach v'eretz Yisrael potim mezuzah shloshim yom. A socher bais b'chutz la'aretz chayv mezuzah miyad mishum yishu v'eretz Yisrael. I don't know. Something to think about. Okay. Yeah, there's a piece here from Rav Shach on page 21. Rav Shach likes quoting this piece that if you have that maybe the din and then the chutz la'aretz you have a respite of 30 days, not till day 31. That's because Schiris Lokanya. That's not a Kenyan, it's not yours. But it could be today that there was that in the civil law the Schiris is Kanya, meaning that you can't just evict me from the, so I do have so maybe then the cool of 30 days wouldn't apply anymore. Because we hold that, you know, that you can't just throw me out of a skiris. Skiris is Kanya. With the name Skiris Kanya. So therefore maybe Ms. Bismachazal Skiris wasn't Kanya. So if I rent you my apartment, but now something happens to my dear, I can say, okay, you leave. I need a place. Today you can't do that. You have binding, legally. So maybe the whole reason for the tour of 30 days is because of Schiris Lokanya, but today Schiris is Kanya. So maybe you'd have a chiv right away to put up this mezuzah. And the big issue that everyone asks about is when they move into a new apartment, when do they put up the mezuzah? So some hold you have to wait till day 31 to put it up, because before that there's no chiv. So they mamish have to count till when day 31 is and put it up that day, because if you put up before, a kachreis could be a shayl of tasav, and also it could be there wasn't real chiv, maybe you can't make a bracha. But But according to Rav Shach's thing here in the Aviezri, then you get, like Rav Shach likes this, then you can put it up right away. And there's an opinion of the Nesivus and the Derechayim. You know the Derechayim and the Nesivus? The Nesivus wrote a Siddur called Derechayim, Derechayim Siddur. And in the Siddur, he has Piskei Halachas in the Siddur. Now, recently, people come to the conclusion that we don't really need his Siddur anymore. We have enough Siddurim. You'll just print the Piskei Halachas in a separate sefer. Forget this Ashrei. We know Ashrei. You know, we don't need the Nesivus to tell us about Ashrei. So they printed different editions in the library. We have them with Ha'aris of just the Psakim of the Derechayim. So there's a famous thing of the Derechayim that he says, if you know from, and they're not working with the Rav Shach's Mahalach, but if you know right away, you're going to be there for more than 30 days, then you can put it up right away. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky in his Sefer Hilchos Mezuzah also says this. He also says, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, that you can put it up right away, because L'maisa, even though no one's living there, but it's still, you machshir it for, just like he makes a mashal, like if you shecht, even though you're not eating it right away, but you made this makam, this food, roi l'achila. So now you're making this dira, a makam that's roi l'dira. So Rakhine Kanievsky thought that you could put it up, you can make, even if no one's living there, you can put up, you can make the, you could put the mezuzah up right away. But Moshe says he thinks you should wait. Moshe says you put up right away to be kosher to the opinions that say that if you know right away you're going to be more than 30 days, put up right away. And then on day 31, put your hand on the mezuzah and make a bracha. That's a chiddush, because others say, like Rav Soloveitchik, that you can't make a brachas a mitzvah unless you're doing a maisa mitzvah. But Moshe assumed no, that you don't need to make a maisa mitzvah. You don't need to have a maisa mitzvah to make a brachas a mitzvah. You can put up the mezuzah on day five when you come in, whatever it is, and not make the bracha until day 31. It's already up, so you can just put your hand there. And you're not doing any maisa. You make the bracha. That's a big discussion in the poskim, whether Rav Soloveitchik's idea that you need a maisa mitzvah. You know, it comes up in the Magen Avraham in Hilchos. Hilchos what? Hadlakas Ner Shabbos, famous Magen Avraham. Back in the day, we don't have this so much today. I've never attended such a thing that I'll tell you. There was a common practice to get married on Friday. Friday was a good time to get married. Today, not too many people are getting married on Friday. So they would get married on Friday. So what happens was, the people would go to the chuppah, and then they'd come home to light Neir Shabbos. But sometimes it was too late. And it was too late to light Neir Shabbos, so they'd get a goy to light Neir Shabbos, and then they would make the bracha on the goy's hadlaka. So that's a precedent for this concept of not necessarily needing a maisa mitzvah. So those that hold you need a maisa mitzvah would be able to do this thing. But that was a common practice, and you know, which is not too common today, to get married on Erev Shabbos and then the Suda Tasa. Years ago they did it because people were poor, so they wanted the Suda Shabbos. The Suda Shabbos, we don't view a Suda Shabbos as an expense. It's not like normal living, but Suda Shabbos is an expense. So let the Suda Shabbos and the Chasana be the same meal, so you don't have to have another meal that you have to spend money for. Wait, you got the wrong name. So
Rav Shach, that
today maybe the Chiv, since we have a lease and so it's binding right away, so that's Chiris is Kanya Bismanazah. You see, the old days, Chiris was not Kanya. So if I was Socher or something, I had a right to live there. But if you had a need, that you say there was a fire, chas v'shalom, in your dira, and you don't have any other dira, so you can tell me to leave. You can, because the skiris wasn't kanya. It wasn't a full, obviously it's not full kinyan, yakoneh, even if skiris is kanya, but a certain measure of kinyan in the skiris. So in those days, skiris was lo kanya. That was the original psak, that skiris was lo kanya. So mela. So that's what Rav Shach claims is the reason for the respite of 30 days. But today, skiris, according to the Chok HaMedina, skiris is kanya. Just because you have a problem that something happens with your dira, you can't say, okay, I own two diras, one I rented out. So now I have a problem with my dira, so I tell the other guy, go fly a kite, and you can't do that. He has legally rented it. Now it's your problem, it's not his problem. It's your problem. Go rent yourself some other... So if according to the Chok HaMedina, skiris today is kanya, so that's what Rav Shach is saying, so then the keter of Lamed Yom wouldn't apply, and therefore you would have to put up, it would be a chiyuv to put up the mezuzah right away with the beginning of the skiris, because the skiris is kanya. No longer, that's the Derech Chaim. That's the Derech Chaim. Rav Chaim Kanievsky just says he doesn't think that you have to be there now at all. As long as there's a physical structure here to put up a mezuzah, I can put up a mezuzah. So say I own an apartment complex, and I'm a nice guy. I'm going to get mezuzahs for everybody. No one lives there yet. I'll put up mezuzahs in all the empty houses. So he says, fine. You makshir it to Ladira. So fine. No one's living there. But it's like, he gives a mashal. It's like I'm shechting behemoths for people so they'll have meat. I can make a bracha because I'm accomplishing something now. I'm makshir the meat l'achila. So he says, I'm makshir the batim Ladira. So he didn't think that you have this whole pilpul that the post can have. When should you make the bracha? You make it.
The
Derech Chaim
says you have an obligation
to that, right? It's a diak in the Derech Chaim. Rabbi Lavlowski once wasn't so happy with the diak, but the Derech Chaim is that the diak of 30 days is only if you plan to live there only for 30 days, then you don't have to put it right away. But if from day one you know you're going to be there for more than 30 days, then you should put up right away. That's how some explain this sheet of the Derech Chaim. From the psakim of the Derech Chaim. That's now printed a separate sfarim with nice notes, and the Derech Chaim has a lot of chidushim in the sefer.
Why? How
are you
explaining
the Israel
and
the Chutzlar? Yeah. So Israel Chutzlar. So we said that. So Bizvan, that there was a. If you hold it, there's a heter of 31 day 31 in Eretz in Chutzlar. That's because the Gemara says because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which some Rishonim explained to mean that we don't want you to leave Eretz Yisrael. So you would think twice leaving if you know that you have to leave your mezuzah there. Chutz La'aretz, we don't care. You move here, you move there. Yeah.
Could we borrow from Hilchas Sukkah, like filling a Sukkah Tov Shloshim or Rapport Shloshim?
Not exactly.
Because it's the act of the quench of rub. It's sometimes actions express intention. You don't have to say anything. Your action expresses intention. And he elaborates on the different opinions in the Rishon
LeSarav. Yeah. Okay. I don't know if it's the same type of halacha, but we could discuss it more. But okay. So another thing we need to know. Now, the Gemara says that we know that the din is that the base knesses is potter from the mezuzah, right? Because it's not a makam dira. If the shamus lives there, then it's chayav, right? So and a Beis Medrash, the two opinions in Shulchan Aruch. So what's the pshat? So the Shach says it's talking about a Beis Medrash that people are learning there the whole day. So that looks similar to a Dira. That's what the Shach says. People are learning the Beis. It doesn't mean, you know, some shuls in the old big shuls, so they had a thing like this, that not everyone was coming to shul on the weekday like on Shabbos. So the old big shuls, the Jewish centers and the young Israels, they had this big room where they davened on Shabbos, and then they had another place where they davened during the week. Right? A lot of shuls have that. Obviously, because not as many people were davening on the weekday as Shabbos, so then look, you know, you have 15 people coming to a shul that can seat 400 people, it looks a little weird. So they have this other place. They call the Beis Knesses, and the small place they call the Beis Medrash. So that has no halachic bearing. That's just, you know, somebody made that up. So that Beis Medrash, the Shach says, is not chayev according to anybody. It's what? It's only the Beis Medrash like in yeshiva where people are there the whole day. So that's Dumya Zira. But, and even that is not so pashut. You know, the Rosh quotes the famous story of the Marami Rutenberg would learn the whole day, and then sometimes he would fall asleep in the Beis Medrash, but there was a Ruach Ra that stared him. And there was no mezuzah on the Beis Medrash, so then he decided to put up a mezuzah, and then the Ruach Ra went away. So Rav Abadi once said to me, if it was really chayiv, he would have put it up from before. So it's a strange type of thing. The Ruach Ra was there, but it's like a type of thing. It's like a shmira type of thing. So the mice, like Rav Abadi put in the pashas, he wasn't chayiv. But it's not a real dira. Dumya the dira. So, but a Beis Knesses, for sure, you don't need. This is we're talking about the main sanctuary. The other rooms in the shul, that's not called Beis Knesses. Those are other rooms. The Maaseh, as Rav Abadi pointed out, they don't need either, because they're not a Mokum Dira either. See, the question is, you say, here's a discussion on Sefer Shrusius, I think, but the fact that just people are, like this building here, or no one's living here, but it's populated by people coming and going the whole day. So is that called dira? So Rav Abadi's of the opinion, he thinks not. That's not a dira. Dira means you live there. That's why Rav Abadi's shita was that the only place in the yeshiva that really needs a mezuzah is the dormitory. Because that's there was one yeshiva in Lakewood that I think his Talmidim, everybody's Talmidim, that they don't have mezuzahs on the yeshiva because he holds that it's a waste of money. You know, it's not chayav. But the minhag ha'olam has become that any Jewish moisad that people are using a lot, coming and going, we view that like it's similar to what the Shach said by a Beis Medrash. You know, it looks like a dira because it's, you know, people are, you know, like any firm chassid hall in Brooklyn or Lakewood is going to have mezuzahs. They won't get business probably if they don't have it. People will say, what's going on? There's no mezuzahs here, you know, and then they'll probably lose business, you know, so from restaurants and things like that. So Pashas is the, it's not a, so Rav Abadi holds all these places are not really chayiv in mezuzah. So the mice of people put it on. But of course you shouldn't make a bracha because it's also relevant, you know, for offices. Some people, you know, put a mezuzah on the office, but some people not going to feel uncomfortable doing it because they're amongst going, they don't. So it could be Rav Abadi holds mikra din, it's not chayiv anyway. So because it's not a real makam dira. I mean, as I said in the past, you know, some people spend more time in their offices than they spend in their own homes. But it's still, the Mokandiris, where you live, like, that's why Rav Abadi had a chiddush, also Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky has the same chiddush, that when the Shulchan Aruch says that base otzar is chayiv in mezuzah, that means a place for storage, it's 2 days, but we paskin it's chayiv. So Rav Abadi thought, and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in the Sefer Mechitzas Rabbeinu is quoted saying the same thing. It's only if you have a storage place next to your house. Like you have like some storage room in your house. Or you have, right, but if but you ever see on you driving on the highway and you see these big signs for storage, you know, there are always these billboards for storage places. So those storage places are not next to a dealer. There's some, you know, some place in the middle of wherever, these storage places. So I thought that those storage places are not chayiv in mezuzah. Even though the Shulchan Aruch says storage place chayiv in mezuzah, it's only if it's connected to a dira. But if there's no dira there, then the storage place is not chayiv. That's why we consider a garage a storage place. It's next to your house. But it could be, some want to say, I think the Debrecina is a truth, or some want to say that it's all... that if it's only a car that's kept in the garage, then maybe that's not also chayav, because it means a storage place means that, you know, like you keep some wine and then you come into your house, you bring wine into the house, that's part of your usage of the house. Yeah, so Beis HaTeven is also, what's Teven? Teven's for your cows. Right, yeah, it's food for your cows and your hay. But I guess that was also part of your deer, because that was, they milked the cows, so it was, you know, you're making the milk into your hand, that was all part of your existence. Every, what? Okay, yeah, so you could say the car is the same thing. So, you could say the car is the same thing. So, you know, today we have cars, we want our tzrachim that we have in our home, we put in the car, and you could say that as well. So, yeah, Rav Dov Feinstein's other opinion to put up a mezuzah. He thought without a bracha, Rav Dov Feinstein in a garage, because perhaps because of the other shita that says he's not chayev. But Lemaiser, Rabbi Kivega points out that the shita that says you're not chayev on the face of Otsar, that other sheet is not even quoted in Shulchan Aruch as a Yeshomer. So he doesn't think you have to give any. He says like this: when it comes to the doors, we have the Rambam sheet is quoted as a Yeshomer. So then you have to give that more chashivas and not make a bracha do the Rambam. But the Rabbi Kivega says, but the sheet of Beis Otsar, that you need, it's only if a person nashim miskashos shama, that women are putting on makeup there, stuff like that. So that sheet is not even quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So he says you don't have to give that. That's called nidka, that sheet. Whereas the other sheet, so that's his big yisoda. Rabbi Kivega writes one place that if the Shulchan Aruch quotes as the Yeshomrim, even though we don't, that's not the ikashita, you still give a chashivas and you won't make a bracha if you're going against that sheet. But the Shulchan Aruch doesn't even quote it in the, even though it might be in the Beis Yosef, but it's not even quoted in the. Didn't make the final cut to be in the lot in the mechaber itself. Then already, and that's this is, you know, the whole the Dvar Shmuel. Dvar Shmuel Abu Hav. He says a very fascinating point. It's a controversial statement. I'm not convinced that he's wrong. It's a very controversial statement. Not everyone likes this statement. I'll tell you the statement in a second. That he says, he claims that Rav Yosef Karo only wrote the Beis Yosef, but the Shulchan Aruch he gave out to the students. You do from Simon Aleph to Chaf Beis, you do from Chaf Beis. And that's why he explains that there's so many steers in the Shulchan Aruch. It's not a Kadmon said this. It's Dvar Shmuel, Shmuel Abu Hav. He says this idea that... And others say, what do you mean that the Mechaber is going to give his Talmidim to decide what the final psak is? So this was a But there are so many spheres in Rav Avadia once showed me in Hilchos Yontif that Bir Hagro writes that this Yesh Stiras B'Shulchan Aruch Kayadua. Kayadua. Meaning, Stiras Shulchan Aruch doesn't necessarily bother me. But on the other hand, Achronim a lot of times are trying to miyashiv this Stiras in Shulchan Aruch. I mean, it's clear that in the biography of the son of the Chafetz Chaim wrote a biography of the Chafetz Chaim, and he says the Stiras in the Mishnah Berurah. He says, you know why the Stiras in the Mishnah Berurah? Because they weren't all written by my father. My brother wrote this siman, and my brother-in-law wrote this siman. You know, they just had the sign here having the biographies of different Rosh Yeshivas on the wall. So they just had Rav Mendel Zaks. Rav Mendel Zaks was the Chafetz Chaim's son-in-law. He was the bochen here in this yeshiva. They say that I think Rabbi Hefza, they did the final redaction of the Mishnah Berurah in the old building there. The yeshiva is the old building. But Mendel Zaks finished off the final touches on the Mishnah Berurah in that building. Mendel lived on the west side. And he was the bochen here in the yeshiva. Where he was Chofetz Chaim's son-in-law. He lived in the same building with Rav Aaron Kotler, who also lived on the west side. You think Rav Aaron Kotler lived in Lakewood? That's not where he lived. Rav Aaron Kotler lived on the west side. West side, place to be. And then later he moved to Borough Park. He never lived in Lakewood. Was he? Rav Abadi explained to me. Was he? During the week he was busy with Klal. He had to save people in Europe. And Rav Aaron Kotler, when did he go to Lakewood? The Shabbos. So his main shear, when did he give shear of Aaron Kotler? On Shabbos. That's when he gave shear. The shear was on Shabbos. It was during the week. He spent a long weekend in Lakewood, but during the week he was here. And Reb Mendel also. Reb Mendel lived on the west side. Then he came to Washington Heights to give bechinas. Interesting little history. Okay. Oh. So another thing we have to know about mezuzah. So we discussed last week, you have to know which way to put the mezuzah, right? Knesa, which way, right? We discussed the Chabad approach, the other approach.
Sliding door, would that be an accurate
with what beer?
Accurate, like the door opens.
A sliding door doesn't have anything
anyway, with a hinge.
No, so sliding doors is a problem. It's not going to go out.
Okay.
Right. So then you get it. Yeah. Because there's no hefetz here.
In relation to the garage that everybody's speaking about, if somebody is considering or in the process of changing that garage into a livable space, into a bedroom, to that. Only once that change happens is there a fee of mezuzah, or the fact that this space is...
Well, if you hold garage, it's chayav mezuzah.
I'm saying if you hold it's not chayav mezuzah, but yeah. You're considering or you're getting a process to change...
It's only when you actually change it to the... Okay, the halacha is that you have to put it... A couple of things. You have to put it in the doorway. Okay? So that's where you have to put the mezuzah. So like here, this I told you, this is the perfect doorway. You put the mezuzah in the doorway. If it's not in the halal pesach, it's a question. Sometimes the door takes off the whole thing, and then you have to put it on the. But that's only the shasach kaf. It always should try to be here. Now, what parcels? If it's too high up, if it's within a tefach of the mashkof, that passes, right? And if it's lower than the top third, also passes. So say you have a child's bedroom, and the child wants to kiss his mezuzah while he's coming in, and he wants you to make it lower for him, so that's, you can't do that. You can just pick him up, so he can touch it. Kiss it, whatever he wants, but if it's less, if it's lower than the top third, it's possible. So that's important. You saw. question is, what if you have a very tall doorway? What if you have a very tall doorway? So what should you do? So the Yerushalmi in Megillah, quoted in the Shach, says, then you follow shoulder height. Then you don't, even though shoulder height is going to be lower than the top third. Lower than the top third. So the Shach paskins that you follow this Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi and Megillah. A quote here on page 33. Page test, it's cut in Dalit. Shapesach avo harbe yenichedek keneget seifo. So what's the idea? So what's the idea? Why did you put it? Because he says that you have to, mezuzah should be something that you notice. It should be within your purview to see the mezuzah. You know, coming in, coming out. So if it's going to be so high up, then no good. So that's the Shach Paskin.
What's the relationship between the mezuzah and Shmira and the...
Because the Rambam says that part of the Shmira is that you're thinking about the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, you're thinking. So this is the Minhag Olam. The Minhag Olam is to follow the Shach. The Minhag Olam is to follow the Shach, and you ever see on the ground floor of the library, there's one or two doorways that are very high, and they put the mezuzah on the shoulder height. Okay, we'll see. Yeah, I'm gonna get that in a second.
If we're putting up on the mezuzah on the door height, it doesn't require anything because of that kind of place that people live in. The deed rule would apply to you. I mean, if you volunteer to put up the mezuzah, once you adhere to the rule.
Yeah, because the question is, in other words, what does it mean that it doesn't really require? Like you were saying over here, that this building doesn't really require it. Yeah, but you could say that maybe that's the Ikra Halacha, but then you have this Svar of the Shach, that it, if it's in regular use, that's Doma Dedira, so it's like a quasi-chiv or something. Once you're doing it, you should do it right.
Okay.
If you mamish have a situation where it's mamish not chayim according to any shita, okay, so, okay. But usually there's going to be something that's going to be chayim. Oh. So you asked the question, how high is high? No, so let me tell you a couple of things. So Rav Avadi Yosef, he takes on this in his one of his truths in Yabia Omer. He says, but the Mechaber never quotes this Yerushalmi. So why should we follow this Yerushalmi? Maran Mechaber doesn't bring it. So he thinks he's a purist. Always top third. Even if the top third is who knows how tall, top third. That's his shita. But it's not, even amongst Svardim, I don't think it's the mainstream view. You know. So what's the pshat? What's the pshat? So Rav Abadi once told me a pshat, and then I saw that the Chazanish said a similar idea. That it's not really, there's a din of Shlish Elyon and there's a din of Shah. See, I thought it's, there are two halachas, there are two tracks. There's the normal door track and the high track, right? And then the normal door track is Shlish Elyon, and the high track is so I'm invited to know the pshat is that Shlish Elyon is a hashara of shoulder height. It's not two separate tracks. It's always the din of shoulder height. It's always a din of shoulder height. And what's shoulder height? Shoulder height is because when the shoulder height, that's where you're, where's your head? Your head is right above the shoulders. So that's where you're going to be looking. Right? If something, so according to that, in other words, if so it's above that area, so already, and that's how I think there's a piece in the Sivas, in the Dan Chaim, so like that idea. That if it's going to be, in other words, if the top third will be that it will be like above that area, so say it'll be above my head. Some say, oh, it has to be 20 amos or something, so very, like we're learning in Sukkah, you know, high, so you. But some say, like the Nesivus, it's going to be above the regular purview, which is, so here, I mean, this is around, you know, a little higher, but it's okay. And so that's what, and it's a din. And another area where you see this halacha, that you have to be able to see the mezuzah, is, halacha is what we said, you can put a mezuzah in the, we can put it in the Jerusalem stone, right? You've seen that, they put it in the stone. Right, but if you plaster over it, then it's no good. You have to be able to see that there's a mezuzah there. So you see that. So lamaisa, you know, I wouldn't follow the shita when Rabbi Bari has an ishtayv kula. In other words, if I'm a smaller person and my shoulder height is going to be lower than the shlish elyon, I'd be afraid to put it below the shlish elyon. But lamaisa, I would follow the shach, and if it's if it's a tall door, then to put it by the shoulder height. Not like Rabbi Yosef says that since the Mechaber doesn't quote this Yerushalmi, that we should always put it for Shlish Elyon. I mean, I think it's a good svara, it's a good idea. So I don't want to, because if it's wrong. And you put it lower, if your shoulder height is lower than the Shlish Elyon, then it could be possible a field of the Yevit, but you don't want to rock the boat here. So I'll put it just a little higher. The shoulder height is going to be lower than the Shlish Elyon. But once you're in the tall door syndrome, so then you just do the shoulder height thing and not the Rav Avadya Yosef thing. Because that's the medical. Oh.
Yeah.
Hello, yeah. So the mitzvah, if the shlish elyon is going to be above your normal purview, like say here, it's right here. When I walk out, it's perfect. And even if I'm not, so I'm a little shorter. So I think all the people earlier these taller than most of us, and some of us are a little shorter, some of us are a little, but I think this is good for everybody. Everyone here, when they're going to walk out, they'll be within their regular purview, so that's good. So based on this, I have another pet peeve that I wrote an article about this in the Beis Yitzchak. And that's about the kitchens in Washington Heights. You know what I'm talking about? The kitchens in Washington Heights have this thing. You know what I'm talking about?
The ceiling kind of comes down.
So you have the little arch, and then you have that little protrusion, and then it goes down. Does anyone have a marker? I could draw it. This is a side view. There, I'll draw a better picture. I'll draw a better picture. So you're walking in this way. So where do you put the... So this is...
Is it a half wall next to
it? Yeah. So some people... So the question is, do you put it over here? Or do you put it over here? So some say, well, the Nesivus and the Darachayim says that if there's a blita, you know what I'm talking about? You've seen this? No? 95% of the kitchens have this.
You mean like you walk in the kitchen and there's like a half a wall next to you? But then
you have a wall, a little thing, and then it's a curve. But you don't walk near the curve because you have this protruding little thing that goes down. It's in almost every apartment. I mean, maybe. No?
It's easy to read in the apartment, but by one level, floor.
Yeah,
you want
to
get
it
in dark way.
It's like a counter, and a counter sticking out from the side,
right.
At like halfway.
Right. So some say, well, you can't put it here because you're not walking over here. Some say, so put it here, because the Derech Chaim says that if this is 10 fucking high, you can put it on those little things. So you have all these, a lot of people putting the mezuzah on this little low thing. This 10 fucking hard. But in the Sefer in the Mikdash Ma'at in the Das Kedoshim, he says, no, that receiver is only meant if you're putting it lower, it'll still be within the Shlish Elyos. They're talking about this case. That it goes up, but now when you put it here, it's still within the Shlish Elyon, but the way people put it, the mezuzah will be like over here. You know, in reference to their body. So I'm very not into that. And then there's a whole question which way you put it. There are four possibilities where to put the mezuzah. You can put it here, going in, or if you hold like that Rabbi Akiva Eger, you put it here, going out. So there are, you know, four different possibilities. So I'm into putting it higher up, not over here, because this is not within the Shlish Elyon.
And Moshe, in that case,
it could be part of the gamer. Because it's not dollar at the end of the day. So if you don't hold like the Chamid and the Neil, and this, so then it could be a problem. But if you're already putting it up,
right.
Once I saw in somebody's even their living room, they had something like that, and that opened up as a big room. A bathroom, we know, doesn't need a mezuzah. This is not Tashmishol. Covered. It's not a Tashmishol covered, so you don't put up a mezuzah in the bathroom. So there is a question. There is one sheet in the Rishonim. We don't follow the sheet at all. It says that in a married couple's bedroom, there's no chiyuv of mezuzah. Because that's also, you know, since they're going to cohabit together, that's not a Tashmishol covered, so there shouldn't be any mezuzah. So that sheet seems to be nidcha. Fakir, in some of the Heights apartments, the only room that they can possibly make a bracha is in the married couple's bedroom. Because every other room either is not dalet al dalet or doesn't have a door. So this is the only room that for sure is dalet al dalet and for sure has a door. And yet now, it still could be an issue, like I told you, that there's one day in the Rishonim that says that it's not Tashmish or Kavod. So we assume no, because basically most of the Tashmish is sleeping and whatever. And then they could also be Mishamish, but that's not like the same as a bathroom where the Iker Shimush is to, you know, things that are not Shal Kavod. So that's then there is a discussion. So in most bedrooms, married couples, so you shut the door, the mezuzah will be outside. Because the halacha is the person's not allowed to be mishamish in front of Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Svarim, you know. So So usually the mezuzah will, you know, so people have to realize, as someone pointed out, you know, when somebody is a single fellow, you know, growing up, he keeps all his sfarim in his bedroom, all his bar mitzvah sfarim and all that. And now it's fakir, you don't keep any sfarim in the, like someone pointed out, in the married couples. But the question is, so the mezuzah, but sometimes you have a situation where the mezuzah is going to be inside the room. Like sometimes in the Heights you have a situation where there's a door and then you walk a little and then there's another tzuras ha-pesach within the bedroom, and then there's no door. So what do you do then? Right, what do you do then? So that's a big shiloh. What do you do to
the cover?
Yeah, so the ashes is the cover. Is, in other words, so you need a, normally you need a double covering, right? But the double covering only counts as a double covering if one of the coverings is not miyucha l'kach. And here, it's miyucha l'kach. So the Aruch HaShulchan says he thinks the answer is that there's no problem. That the Torah was mechayiv in me and mezuzah. And the Torah was mechayiv in normal life. So Mamela, al korcha, this it's not considered a bizayin to the mezuzah to be mishamish in front of a mezuzah, because it's built into the chiyuv. It's built into what you do in a bedroom, and it's built into what the chiyuv of mezuzah. That was the Aruch HaShulchan, but not everyone accepted this Aruch HaShulchan. So some say, Rav Gubin pointed out, you say like the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that when it's nikva on the door, it's considered like a reshus b'fnei atzmo. Or you say like the Rav Gubin pointed out, like the Chayodom, the Chochmas Odom, that if you put it on with special kavana, that it should count as a mapstick, then it does. So you put a wrapping, a special wrapping on the cloth, or maybe two wrappings on the cloth with kavana to this, so that's another but technically speaking, you know, it would be that you would, you know, he would say even a cycler, he could put a nail on top of the mezuzah, and he would put a shirt, two shirts on top of the, you know, but that's already, you know, just that awkward to do that. So I'm going to say you can rely on one of these coolers, either a Hashulchan, that's the, or more so the has just put a double, you know, double wrapping on over the like the foil, the two pieces of foil over the mezuzah. So that will be mopsic. But Aruch HaShulchan makes a lot of sense, but it wasn't the mainstream shita about this matter. But it's interesting that that's the one place that in these apartment buildings that you can make a bracha, and even that is a question. But Lamaisa, I tell people that if that's the only place they can make the bracha, that we make a bracha. Hakidikachna, we don't even follow the shita that the bedroom, married couple's bedroom, is pater. And this is pater, for sure you don't make a bracha. But as I said, in a regular Washington Heights apartment, very often that's the only place that you could even try to make a bracha. Okay. So, Rosai, I thank Rabbi Orlian again for inviting me to share the Divrei Torah with you. And then.